chapter 4 and verse 16. This is Jesus. The Bible says that he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set them at liberty that are bruised or wounded, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, we've been speaking on the subject here, dealing with, all right, Jesus Christ being the great healer, where he heals a fundamental part of our beings. That is not just in terms of physical healing, but in terms of the healing of the heart. And that in all that he said concerning his ministry, he itemized six things that he was anointed to do. One third of it was directed towards the healing of the heart. He said to heal the brokenhearted, and then to set at liberty them that are bruised. The word bruised there could also be read wounded. And we saw that where he got this mandate from in Isaiah 61, it was a little bit more explicit. It says there that to preach the glad tidings to the meek, and then he went on to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and he continues by saying to preach vengeance, the year of the vengeance of our God, and then to comfort them that mourn, to appoint unto those that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So there Jesus spoke about comforting them that mourn. He spoke about healing the brokenhearted. And we did say that Jesus was clear, because the word mourner there relates to a sorrow or a sense of regret about something that has happened. So Jesus understood clearly, being the creator of man, that in order for people to be liberated, you have got to deal with issues in their past. You have got to go into places that, things that they are mourning over. And you have got to resolve all of those things in order for them to be whole, healed, and for them to be liberated and to be able to enter into the fullness of the things that God has for them in the future. And we did explain that a lot of times, you know, in our charismatic teachings there, we talk about what is true, new creatures in Christ Jesus, all things are passed away. And what we just do is just with one statement, we just say, well, you know, you're a new creature. Right, you know, the past is in the past. Move on with your lives. And that people can't just move on that way without, in many cases, resolving certain things. That the things that Satan is using to hold people in bondage is not in their future. It are things that have happened in their past. And that if we don't go there and deal with those things, strongholds might remain inside the hearts of people that won't bring them into a living and a vital relationship with God, even though they might understand it in theory. And we looked at the nation of Israel, that the reason why they couldn't get into the promised land was because of certain things that had happened in their past. Pharaoh had subjected them in Egypt to oppression and abuse. They had been wounded. They had been oppressed. They were bruised. And these people in this state, even though they knew the will of God, it was apparent, they entered into it somewhat and tasted of the grapes. They were simply incapable of seeing themselves living that quality of life, living a life that was completely free, having that sense of responsibility, being able to make those decisions, walking in that level of abundance. Certain things had been inserted into their beings that made it impossible for them to see themselves that way. And that until the church begins to present the pathway and show people clearly that there is a way in God, the Balm of Gilead, where here in the private space of your own life, we'll look at this, you are able to enter into the safe havens of God and you are able to get untied from certain things. You are able to get healing, all right, in your inner man. That sense of bondage being broken. Issues in the past are completely resolved. It will be practically impossible for people to enter into the future that God has planned and purposed for them. That there is a clear pathway in God. He calls himself the Balm of Gilead. And we said it's these hidden wounds that actually break out in certain behavioral patterns, all right, in Christians. And we try to resolve it one item after another in terms of correcting these behavioral patterns without getting to the root cause. And the root cause, a lot of time, are wounds that are inside the hearts of people. We saw in Hebrews chapter 12 that Paul said that let the lame be healed rather than being torn out of the way, which means that when a Christian gets torn out of the way, when we say things like people have backslidden or people are no longer, they've departed, all right, they are no longer in touch with the things of God, people drop out of fellowship, you know, they, you know, are just sit at home, they don't do anything, you know, and they are out of their fellowship with God. We might judge and we might criticize and condemn that, but he says let that lame foot be healed rather than being turned out of the way, which means that it's coming from a wound, because he says let them be healed rather than being turned out of the way. So when people are turned out of the way, it is that wound on the inside that wasn't healed that actually produced those decisions, that produced that behavioral pattern, that produced those things, and, you know, those things now begin to show. That's why sometimes, you know, you'll just hear of people because these things are deeply set inside people. And a person seems normal. He laughs, he talks, and all of that. Sometimes you just hear the person suddenly committed suicide. And everybody begins to wonder, how did that happen? It's because something was going on, a conversation in the life of that person was going on unaddressed, which means that there was some conversation going on in the deeper part of the heart of that person. That is, there was some wound on the inside that nobody noticed, nobody ministered to, nobody spoke to, right? And it continued to fester until it breaks out in various ways and in certain things. And it's addressing that we are looking at in this particular series, which means showing the pathway of God. How do I, in my space there, get that kind of complete and total healing from God? It tells us in Psalm 147 from verse 1, it talks about praising the Lord. And it says unto us here, it says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. Now, who are outcasts? An outcast is one who has suffered rejection. One who has been ostracized by society or by a social group. One that has not been accepted, all right, based on certain things they have found in that person. And he went on and says, he healeth the broken in heart, and then he bindeth up their wounds. So he heals the broken in heart, and he goes further and binds up their wounds. And today I want to look at, in terms of how this spills into our everyday life, it affects our destiny. It ultimately affects our relationship with God. But I'll start by saying that these wounds are really hidden stuff behind a lot of the behavioral, all right, manifestations that we seek to correct. It is these wounds that create conflict between individuals and lead to broken relationships. We deal a lot with the symptoms, but leave the root cause alone. I think we really don't just know what to do about it. Dr. Roy Hicks said, he said, by spending time in the Word, we may deal with symptoms one after another. That symptoms like being argumentative, being domineering. We can look at it, itemize those things, and try to deal with them one after the other, spending time in the Word. But things, he said, become much easier if we had an insight into the root cause. Now, Dr. Lil Yeoman, this was a woman, a medical doctor by training, but taught extensively on the subject of divine health or healing and faith. And she's believed, her book is believed to be the one, or her books, one that was closely read by Kenneth Hagin, that's the book he read the most in his lifetime. Every time within his briefcase, he will always have a book written, one of the books written by Lil Yeoman. And she said once that she went into a small town and as a medical doctor to treat an outbreak of typhoid fever. And she saw people who were healthy prior to the time she got there, or maybe months before that, when she visited those areas, broken down and completely ill. Some were unconscious, but she started treating them one after the other. She kept helping the individuals, but the fever did not stop spreading. And she said this, that she would have been guilty of criminal negligence if she hadn't taken steps to have the source of the infection discovered with the view to shutting it off completely. And this is what we are looking at. That she failed to be criminal negligence there, amount to that, right? To just keep treating the symptoms there and not get to the root cause. And when they found it, it was the best thing that happened to those farmers, she said. When they discovered that the typhoid was due to dead hogs in the water supply. So they found out that there were dead hogs within the water supply that was coming into that small town. And as long as the water was flowing in and people were drinking from the water, the typhoid was going to spread, regardless of what they were doing. The minute they removed the dead hogs out of the water, it only took a matter of time for the entire thing to stop. So they went to the root cause and shut it off from that place. And then restoration started coming to the entire place. Now, let's look at a type of this in Scripture, and then we'll go into the New Testament and see something. If we go to Exodus chapter 15 and verse 23, here they were coming out of Egypt on their journey through the wilderness. And the Bible says, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah because they were bitter. Therefore, the name of the place was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Now, note what happened. Which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. So the waters were bitter. The Lord showed him a tree. He cut off from the tree, threw it into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. In other words, we can say this way, Joseph had a bitter experience there with his brothers, very bitter experience, and he could have been bitter, but at a point, the Lord turned the bitter waters into sweet waters. In that, he told the brothers, that which you meant for evil, God has turned it around for my good. And what we want to look at is that this tree is a type of the cross that Jesus hung upon the tree. And based on the finished work of Jesus, once we throw that into the waters that are bitter, into things that have happened that are bitter, those things turn around and we begin to get sweet waters out of it. Like it was said of Christ, had they known, they would not, the prince of this world, will not have crucified the Lord of glory. But he goes further and says, there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, so it's not about removing the waters, but changing the waters. And thou wilt do that which is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So he tied up these bitter sweet waters to healing. All right, sickness there and healing there. And this is really deep. He said, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So the bitter waters were coming out of, you could say, diseases were coming out of, right, some wounds and all of that within, right, those folks there. Now, let's look at the New Testament version of this. In James chapter 3, James said this. James chapter 3. He said in verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, as we sing and bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men that are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. In other words, James was saying this, and it was quite outstanding. He said, look, a person comes to church and is singing and worshiping and praising God and singing deep songs of worship, all right, and blessing God. And we hear those great songs that he has sung or she has sung unto God. And by the time they get to the car, all right, based on the debate they have with their spouse, they are talking about, listen to me, I've always told you, you know, I've said this to you, Colonel, and words of, all right, cursed words there. All right, describing the person, belittling the person, injurious words. And James said, look, what's going on here? That out of the same mouth, with one mouth, you bless the Father. And then you the same mouth, where is it coming from? It says, you curse men that are created in the image of God. You sing unto God, all right, and worship him and step out and you get to your gate and somebody, the person doesn't open the gate on time, you wind down, listen, you this stupid man, I've always, and you're just coming out of a service where, you know, you worshipped and talked about the beauty and tears were almost coming right to your ears and you are full of worship and now you are cursing and all of that. And he's saying, how can you have sweet and bitter waters? I want to look at this, right? How can from the same place you have sweet waters coming and bitter waters coming there? And what I want to say is that these curse words are coming out of wounds inside the hearts of people, which means that people will sing and worship, but they have areas in their lives in the past they've been wounded. Places where if somebody is injured somewhere and a doctor begins to touch and you feel sharp pain and the person will jerk and say, you know, that hurts there and touches that and touches. And people have that. We have that in areas in our lives, and these where the bitter waters are coming out of. And then he goes on and says this. It says, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet and bitter waters? And this is the understanding here, that a person can genuinely sing. Now, but we're going to see this, that if you sing and you worship God and you haven't resolved issues in your heart, right, you won't enter into the place of worship where you will experience God in a personal way, where the quality of experience that Jesus created when he said you have entered into heaven itself in worship and in thanksgiving, you won't have that kind of thing. Because even from the Old Testament, as a matter of typology, Jesus of God said, any wounded animal cannot be brought into my presence if it's bruised and all of that. So really and truly, the blessing of the Father is not as the Father will want, right? Unless certain things are resolved. For he says, from that fountain, you can send sweet and bitter waters. And as we get into this message, we'll see why John said, if you can't love your brother that you can see, how then can you say you can love God that you cannot see? That is not possible. You can't say that, you know, I love God so much, and then he says you don't love people. And that love is not there. Something is wrong somewhere. And so he tells us, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear forth olive berries and all of that? That is not possible. Right? Something is going on, and it's the wounds in the heart that are creating these things. Look at Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah spoke to this in verse 7. Jeremiah 6 and verse 7. He spoke to this. And he said, as a fountain casteth out her waters. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil are hid in her. But hear what God said. Before me is grief and wounds. So the violence and the spoil, the verbal abuse, right, all of that that is hid in her, coming out of a person, God says, I can see it's coming from grief and it's coming out of the wound. So there's no point in just saying you should with one mouth bless God, right? Because, you know, until you address the griefs and the wounds, a person will not be able to be consistent in blessing God and at the same time, all right, blessing men. We said this during the second session, all right, week of this teaching. Somebody in this church sent it to me, and a young man who had been bullying a woman, this woman wrote a blog maybe about 13, 15 years after, or much after, and she spoke about this guy who bullied her while she was in school. And the day she finally confronted the bully, right, she asked him, why do you treat me this way? And finally, he broke down and just started crying and said that, listen, what happened was that my father left my mother, and then my mother remarried, and this new stepfather, you know, started beating me. And because the woman didn't want to leave him, all right, she chose her husband, that's his stepfather, over the boy. And the boy must have experienced rejection, apart from the physical abuse, that he has been rejected here. Number one, his father has chosen to leave him and did not stay. Number two, all right, he stayed with the mother. Now the mother has chosen somebody over and above him. And then this guy went on and then physically abused him to the point where one day he locked him up in a cupboard, didn't give him food for 2 days, and the mother didn't do anything. And that's where the pain was coming out of. And he broke down into tears, and then she started helping him, got somebody to walk with him through all of that. But that's where it was coming out of. Now, if nobody ever pressed that, nobody ever, you know, looked into that area, nobody ever said that, all right? Or he came to church and joined church and started, you know, serving in a church and was visible and all of that, and no one known he was wounded there. All right, and all of that, suffered some measure of rejection, right, wounded and this, it will just have continued. I was listening when they were talking about Fidel Castro, and they showed him when he first of all went to America after he took power. And the way they treated him in America, they didn't send the right people to meet him in the airport and all of that. And he came back and he felt slighted. And it was that slight that now led to him going to Russia and picking up the communist meme and all of that. It's not like he believed in that. It was because he was wounded and injured, all right, with the Americans there. And so he picked up that ideology to get back at them. It's not something that he believed or something that, you know, this is how he wanted to live. But it's something was responding to something. And when people are treated that way, and if they're not coming from whole background, what happens is there'll be a relapse of something that's happened, and then that serves as a trigger, and they begin to say certain things. And that's what James was saying, that a fire is kindled by a little spark. Every fire is kindled by a little spark. Just one little spark, and the tongue begins to go on. One little spark, the tongue, all right, begins to wag and starts trying to destroy everything within the environment.
Thank you for listening.